السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, that hadith which we are discussing, we will try again to complete it. We all know that Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was desirous that every ummati of his should attain the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, should get the ma'rifat, the yaqeen, the muhabbat, the love of Allah, and become eligible for entry into Jannat. That was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's desire, and all his life, that is what he made an effort on. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the maximum sacrifice, the maximum. We cannot even read about those sacrifices. We just wonder how a person could go through so much of torture, so much of suffering, so much of difficulty, not for his own selfish benefit. Lots of people take upon themselves tremendous amount of pain. They go through great amount of trouble. They exert themselves day and night. They are on the move. But it is generally for one's own selfish gain. When a person has got some interest in a business, and he knows that he is going to make some money at the end of the day, then it doesn't matter how many hours he spends there. It doesn't matter what time he gets up, what time he goes to sleep. There are many people, the whole night they stay awake, just because they are going to get at the end of the day good returns on that investment of their time that they have made, or the trouble that they have taken, or the pain that they have taken upon their bodies. So there it is understandable that the person has got some personal interest or gain. But Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no personal gain, no personal interest. There was nothing that he was going to gain materially from all these sacrifices. In fact, whatever he gained also, he distributed it. He did not desire to keep it with himself. He still chose that same life of simplicity and poverty for himself. That was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's choice. For the ummat, as I mentioned, I think, in one of the talks, that for the ummat, Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that in the ummat there will be all kinds of people. There will be the rich and the poor. There will be the weak and the strong. There will be many of them who cannot make sacrifices. There will be many of them who will not be able to lead a life of complete simplicity. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the Sharia, the beautiful Sharia, in which everybody is accommodated. Every person is accommodated. Again, that dua after wuzu comes to mind, that Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasalam, he taught us that we should be making this dua after wuzu. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Now if we have to look at that dua that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught the ummat, then the person is getting ready to make namaz. The person is getting ready to make namaz. He is making wuzu. So it is understandable that he is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness of his sins. Now that is understandable, because the person wants to enter into namaz not with sins. Major sins, of course, we have to make sincere tawbah. we have to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and if it's the rights of others, then we have to fulfill those rights. Unfortunately, many of us, our tawbah is just in the masjid, and outside the masjid again we forget what that tawbah we had made. But Allah Ta'ala has kept a system that the minor sins are forgiven. As you make wuzu, your sins are forgiven. But together with that, the person is still saying, oh Allah, forgive me my sins. That means the major sins also I'm ashamed. I'm asking for forgiveness for both my major and my minor sins. And if it involves the rights of others, then after this namaz, I will make sure that I try and make an effort to repay or make arrangement or try and fulfill the rights of whomever is due. But the thing is that is understandable, that the person is making wuzu, so he is asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. But immediately after that, وَوَسِّعْ لِي فِي دَارِي, the general explanation of that is that, O Allah, I am seeking from you a spacious home or spaciousness in my home. I do not want a cramped up home. I do not want a 1x2x2 room. Because Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was the type of room that he had chosen for himself. Where Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that she had to pull her leg back when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going into sajda. Now if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to impose that upon the ummah, we can imagine how many people would have remained in the fold of Islam in these days. They would have said Shariat and Islam is extremely difficult. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose that for himself. But for the ummah, he said that you ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for spaciousness. Because Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And when a person is single, he can live in a 2x2 room. But after that, he will get married. When he has children, he needs another one. For visitors, he requires one. And it requires more and more space. So we are not talking about lavish buildings. We are not talking about extravagance. We are talking about spaciousness. That the person is asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for spaciousness. Now that we outwardly consider to be dunya. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making us seek that after wuzu. And the person, how many times he is making wuzu? And every time he is making wuzu, he is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a home with spaciousness. In the same way, after that he is asking for sustenance. Barakat in his sustenance. Because if the person has got a spacious home, and now he is going to get visitors, then he is not going, and he doesn't have money, he doesn't have food at home, then what is he going to entertain them with? So he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for barakat in his sustenance, for barakat in his rizq. Now where we will find a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is so kind and so merciful on the ummah that he is even teaching us to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after wuzu. He didn't say that this is dunya, so don't seek it from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the only condition is that don't abuse those ni'mats of Allah. When you are given these ni'mats, then don't abuse them. Because you are seeking it from Allah, He is the one that's going to provide it. So now don't disobey Allah Ta'ala with those same ni'mas that He has provided. This is our weakness, that we seek from Allah Ta'ala after namaz, oh Allah, give me barakat in my sustenance. All of us we seek after namaz, or after this wuzu, we are making dua, we are asking Allah Ta'ala for plentiful rizq and plentiful sustenance. Alhamdulillah, there is nothing wrong with that in seeking. But the moment the person begins receiving, then what does he do with that ni'mat? That is where our weakness lies. Therefore, as Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that from your spending, I see how your dunya was earned. That when I look at your spending, from there I can understand and see how your dunya was earned, how your sustenance came, whether it came from halal sources or haram sources. If the person starts using it in wrong places, then it shows that the person hasn't even earned it in the halal way. Some another wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, if you want to see a person's deen, that how good is his deen, then see how is his dunya. How good the person's dunya is, that's how good the person's deen will be. That if he is living a life of piety, righteousness, he is making use of the ni'mats that Allah ta'ala has provided. He is providing comforts for himself, for his family. Up to that extent, there is no sin. But the moment we begin to use this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala in video films and in photography and in music and in the discos and in the cinemas and in the theaters and in the gambling dens, then it means that we sought from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala risk, sustenance, and now when He provided it, we are disobeying Him with that same sustenance. If we have to go and visit a person, and that person entertains us, he's very hospitable, he's very kind, he gives us plenty of food to eat, he gives us place to sleep, and he provides us with other needs and requirements. And after we have finished, before we leave that house, we start breaking the windows, we topple the table, we damage the furniture, we break the panes. If we are going to do these type of things, then will that host be looking forward to entertaining us again? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we sought from him, he provided it for us, and now after that, that same food that went into our belly, those same clothes that came onto our bodies, that intelligence that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to us, that health that he gave in our bodies, we use the same thing for his disobedience. It is only Allah ta'ala's mercy, Allah ta'ala's kindness, Allah ta'ala's compassion, and Allah ta'ala's tolerance that he allows us a chance. He says, get back, get back. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala waits for us to return to him. If it had been another Allah, or if there had been more than one Allah, then we would have been destroyed long, long ago. So what I was going to tell you was regarding that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he desired that each and every ummati of his, each and every one, the kuffar and mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara, they are called the ummat of da'wat. So they too, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam desired that they too should accept Islam, they should come into the fold of Islam, not for his benefit. He was not going to gain anything. He did not want kingdom. He did not want a throne. He did not want wealth. He did not want their women. In fact, these things were offered to him at the very early stage. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that if you want to be a king, then we will make you our ruler. We will make give you the kingdom. You become our king. And if it is women that you want, then our daughters are available. Whichever one you choose, we are prepared to give you in your marriage. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that if you want wealth, then any amount of wealth we are prepared to give it to you. But what was Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam's reply? That even if you have to put, even if they have to put the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left and tell me that I must stay away from this invitation towards Allah, towards the oneness of Allah, towards the tawheed of Allah, then I will rather die in the process of going on with this invitation than to accept all these things. So the point is that he was not doing these things for selfish reasons. It was of no gain to him. He was a mercy unto all the worlds. He was a mercy unto mankind and mercy unto everyone. And it was for their benefit. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not desire that any ummati of his, due to his weakness also, should remain behind. He desired that he too should go into Jannat and get the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore he said that if you cannot make the hajjud, because many people were fit, healthy, or they had the tawfiq and they were making tahajjud, but those who could not, he said, then at least stay away from sins, stay away from haram, stay away from what Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has prohibited. Allah ta'ala will raise you on the day of qiyamah together with those people who were making tahajjud. Just as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who cannot get up for this salatul layl or tahajjud, then if between his witr namaz, between the two sunnat and the three witr, if he has to make two rakats or four rakats with the niyat of tahajjud, then he will be raised up with those people who are making tahajjud. Now what can be more simpler than that? That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants us all to get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat, his mercy, his maghfirat, and the ni'mats of jannat. Then we discussed the second point also, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if a person cannot keep nafil fast, nafil fast we are talking about, optional fast. Lots of people are inquiring all the time, can we keep a fast today, can we keep a fast tomorrow, should we keep two or should we keep one? And the same thing they will ask about other fasts, 13, 14, 15, that how is it sunnah, is it wajib, and how should we keep it? So many of them are interested in keeping nafil rozas, especially the women folk. They seem to have got a lot of interest in keeping nafil fast, which is very good. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to keep a lot of fasts, and especially in these months he used to keep a lot of rozas. But just keeping the fast and then thinking that now we have become pious and righteous, and our tongues are slicing the hearts of people. In the night of Mi'raj, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown not just ordinary people, people who were the khatibs of the ummat, those who were delivering talks and lectures and speeches to the ummat, those who were trying to invite the Ummah, giving them hidayat or calling them towards deen, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that these are the speakers of your Ummah. And here we are not talking only about the great Allamas and Mufassirin and Muhaddiseen. We are talking about ordinary people also, whoever was a khatib, whoever was lecturing, whoever was giving talk and speeches. We think it's an honor to sit in this minbar and give speeches and talks. If somebody is not given an opportunity, he becomes annoyed and offended sometimes that I was not given the opportunity to give a talk in a certain masjid or from the minbar. The Ahlullah, they are scared. They are giving the talks, but you ask what is going on in their hearts. There is a saw that is cutting and slicing at that heart. They have such fear that these things which we are propagating to others, how much are we practicing on it ourselves? On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to question that you were addressing the congregation and you were calling towards deen and you were inviting towards Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way of life and you were calling towards truthful and honesty, you were inviting towards charity, you were inviting towards sincerity, you were inviting towards faithfulness, you were inviting towards salat and zakat and hajj, and you were inviting towards the fulfillment of the rights of the neighbors, of the orphans, of the widows. You were inviting towards the fulfillment of the rights of the parents, of the children. How much did you practice on it? So it is no pleasure. Ask the Ahlullah, ask the Walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ask Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, what did he have to say after he gave a talk? Ask Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, what did he say after giving a talk? So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you cannot keep nafil roza, on the day of Qiyamah we will not be questioned. Don't argue over that, whether it's one or two or three. The real thing to argue about is, or to worry about is, and to be concerned about is, that those things which are farz upon us, those things which are compulsory on every Muslim, irrespective of who he is. There is no such thing as there's two kinds of deen. One deen is for the students in the university and the colleges and the schools, another kind of deen for the business people, and another kind of deen for those who've got nothing else to do but sit in the masjid and make subhanallah, alhamdulillah. There's no such thing. Deen is for everyone. If namaz is farz 5 times a day, it's farz for everyone who has become of age, whether that person is in the university or the college or anywhere else. If speaking lies is haram, it's haram for everyone. It's not that only if the person is learned scholar of deen, then it is haram for him. But if the person is just a believer in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's not haram for him. These days, this is how we look at people. That this person, how much does he know about Islam? And according to that, now he must practice. Now the others, we say that they are not scholars of deen. But we will be questioned with regards to how much of knowledge we have. Each and every individual knows that Shariat has declared speaking lies as haram. Shariat has declared cheating and fraud as haram. Shariat has declared gambling and adultery and fornication as haram. Which Muslim in this congregation or other congregations does not know that? So now can we say that no, this is not for us to practice upon? For practice we leave it to the scholars of deen and the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's the same law of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that's applicable to everyone. So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the emphasis that he is placing on. That those things which are compulsory, those things which you will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah, those things that you will be questioned about on the day of judgment, you have to answer Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then you should show more concern for that. Whenever people show a lot of concern for nafils and mustahabbats, and there is a weakness in their farz and wajibats, then we must understand that there is nafs and shaitan that has penetrated those hearts, that it is diverting their attention. You will find most of the arguments that are in our community are over those issues which we are not going to be questioned on regarding on the day of judgment. Like for example, tonight is Mi'raj, or we say it is Mi'raj, although there's so much of difference of opinion with regards to the exact night of Mi'raj. So we cannot say with certainty that it was exactly on the 27th night. There are differences of opinion, and it hasn't come down from today, it's coming down from the time of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhi Majma'in. Because they were not so concerned about a night which Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself did not say that you must celebrate. He didn't say you must celebrate Mi'raj night. Yes, we must talk on Mi'raj, what is the significance of Mi'raj. But if, for example, in some masjid there is no program, there is no so-called celebration, then there is no question of fighting over it. It's not an issue to fight over. This is what I'm trying to get at. Because it is neither farz nor wajib nor sunnat that you must have a talk in a masjid on the night of Mi'raj. Where is it in the hadith? Where is it in the Quran Sharif? Now we will find arguments over it. If in some place somebody is not having a bayan, then we must say, well, that is also permissible. There's nothing, no fard, no compulsory thing. And if somebody is having it, as long as they don't regard it as compulsory. But what I am getting across to you very, very clearly is this message, that you will find that most of the arguments in our community are on those issues regarding which Allah and His Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have not given us any direction. There is no command, there is no compulsion, it's neither farz nor wajib. Those issues we will fight over. But when it comes to those issues which really concern each and every individual, how honest am I? How truthful am I? Do I speak lies at home? Do I speak lies to my customers? Do I speak lies wherever I am? Am I projecting the same kind of life, or the claim that I am making, or my outward garb, whatever it shows, is it the same thing that I have inside me? Or is my heart filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with anger? How many people do really regard pride as haram, envy, jealousy as haram, malice as haram, evil lust and passions as haram? And they have been to somebody to say that I want to make islah, I want to get a correction, I want to get a reformation, I want to bring about a change, because these are the weaknesses that I have in my life. If they have to hear that there is some great buzrug or wali of Allah Ta'ala came down to the country, then the first thing they are worried and concerned about is that must get one taweez so that the business progresses. That is about all. Get a taweez so that my business increases. We are not saying it's haram, but that is our only concern. If we ask them for dua also, we want dua so that I get good health, and my children who are gone on the wrong line, they come on the right line, and that my business improves. But how many of them really say that these are my weaknesses, and I want a reformation and a change in my life, so I want a prescription? Therefore, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that if you cannot get up for tahajjud, then at least, or if you cannot fast, nafil fast, optional rozas if you cannot keep, then stay away from, or place a control over your tongue. Discipline this tongue. Stay away from all haram that is related to the tongue. Because there's so much of haram that we indulge in with our tongue. Because that is something that we will be questioned about on the day of judgment. So I was telling you about Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the night of Mi'raj. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam was shown people whose lips were being cut with scissors of fire. The lips were being cut with scissors of fire. Now these were not people that were swearing. These were not those people who were taking false oaths and qasams when they were selling their merchandise. These were not people who were doing fraudulent dealings by speaking lies. These were not people who were cursing others. These were people who were giving bayans, who were making waaz and nasihats. But instead of their bayans and waaz and nasihat creating unity, creating the love of Allah in the hearts of people, creating the love of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bringing them closer to deen, they used to create friction and disunity with it. Of course, we must understand that on certain maslas and certain issues, if there's a difference of opinion, it doesn't mean disunity. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajmain, they had differences of opinion. But they never considered each other as enemies because of those differences of opinion, which is based on the Quran and Sunnah. Differences of opinion is not disunity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we will have to say, na'uzubillah, that he created the greatest division, because he said that this is kufr, this is shirk, and this is iman, this is Islam. And because of his announcement, because of his invitation towards deen, towards iman, towards Islam, brothers and sisters separated, parents and children separated. They became enemies. But that was because of deen. After that, amongst the Sahabas, there were differences of opinion. So that is not something that is objectionable. What is objectionable is that the person, his motive is nothing but to create fitna in the ummah. Nothing else. They will come up with controversial issues just to create fitna and make Muslims fight and argue, so that they can keep their business going. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had no selfish interest. Whatever he gave to us, he gave for our love, for the love of the ummah. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam therefore says that if you cannot keep nafil roza, then at least control the tongue from haram. On the day of qiyamah, you will be raised with those people who were keeping a lot of nafil fast. Once again, we cannot go any further than that. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, then I will continue with this inshallah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand the teachings of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and implement it in our lives. Brothers, what a sad day it is in our lives when we have to hear that Chechnya is being bombed, and now the ruler of Chechnya has to appeal to the Pope that please come to my assistance and help. In the history of Islam, did we ever read that we had to make an appeal to the Christian rulers that our Muslim brothers cannot come to our assistance, please you come and help us? So it is something to cry over. Make a lot of dua for those Muslim brothers of ours who are being bombed and destroyed for no other reason but that they believe in Allah and they claim to be Muslims. That is their only sin. How much of arms and ammunition our Muslim governments have got? Billions of dollars worth of arms and ammunition. But what is it for? Just to have an annual show, annual display. That's about all. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal, and may Allah ta'ala assist and help the mujahideen all over the world, irrespective of how small in number they may be. Allah must unleash his ghaibi forces upon these enemies and destroy them like he destroyed the Aad and Samud. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.